Jesus said that he came to do his Father's will, and his Father's will was to gather the redeemed and to gather them in what we know as the church. The church is triumphant. The church is invincible. He is building his church.
It's the week of Thanksgiving here in the U.S., and with Thanksgiving in mind, let me ask, how thankful are you for what happened yesterday? I'm talking about worshiping with your local church. Ever thought about why you should be so grateful for the body of Christ? Well, today on Grace to You, John MacArthur is going to look at the many reasons you can be thankful for your church, including its imperfections. His sermon is titled, Blessings of Life in the Church. John, Thanksgiving is approaching, and before you talk about gratitude in today's lesson, now's a good time to say a little bit about the people who make broadcasts like this possible. I'm talking, of course, about those who support Grace to You. I know that the encouragement of our listeners means a great deal to you, and it's something I know you're going to be thanking the Lord for this week.
It is absolutely a top priority for gratitude before the Lord. This ministry wouldn't even exist if it weren't for so many faithful, supporting friends. I just came back from a trip into the Midwest, and I was literally besieged by several thousand people thanking me for Grace to You and telling me they were regular givers to the ministry. Some of them were Grace partners, telling me how much the ministry had meant to them. I was speaking in chapel at the Master's University yesterday, and one of the young men came up to me and said, you know, my parents have supported Grace to You for years. I grew up listening to you. That's why I'm a student at the Master's University. Thank you so much. So I'm never very far away from that kind of testimony. Wherever I go, there are always people who come and say thank you for Grace to You, and to whom I can then say thank you for making that possible. And I'm serious when I say that. We appreciate you. We can't be where we are doing what we do without you. I thank the Lord for your willingness to be a part of supporting and praying for us, and especially Grace partners. That's kind of a sort of a step up from just the normal giving. You are regular friends of this ministry in a consistent way, and you support us. Even though you're far away, there's a bond that is very strong. Again, I'm amazed. I was in that crowd of several thousand people, and people kept saying, I feel like I know you. I feel like I know you. And I said, well, you do, because if you hear what I preach and teach from the Word of God, that's the truest and purest expression of my heart. So you do know me. So thank you. Thank you for being thoughtful of this ministry. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for taking advantage of the resources. Many of them are free. You can listen to radio free, television. You can go on the internet. You can go through our apps. And we even send books and CDs free of charge to the people who are on our mailing list, and we love to do that. So we hope you'll never feel you're taken for granted. You're not. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. We are a grateful people, and we know beyond you, we have to thank the Lord who moved on your heart to make all of this happen.
Yes, friend, we are thankful for you and for your love of God's Word, for your support of this ministry. The fact is, lessons like today's are possible because of people like you. So let's get to John's message on the many reasons you can praise God for your church. Here's John.
I've been reading a few of Paul's introductions to his epistles. Here is his introduction to the first letter to the Corinthians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you're not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul offers his thanks for the Corinthian believers.
for the fact that they were genuine believers, that they had received the grace of God given to them in Christ, that they were in everything enriched in all speech and knowledge, that the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in them, that they lacked no spiritual gift, and that they were eagerly awaiting the return of Christ. All of those things made the apostle's heart glad. And then another of my favorite expressions of Paul's thanks is in 1 Thessalonians. In verse 2 of chapter 1, he says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, His choice of you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone forth so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." There is the pastor's joy expressed in those two passages. And I have to say that I certainly understand that. When I think about all of the things in my life that I might be thankful for, apart from the very gracious work that God has done in my own life and in the life of my wife Patricia and my children and even in my grandchildren, the thing that I am most thankful for is that He has placed me at Grace Community Church. It all has gone by like a blur since February of 1969, February 9th it was, all these years. There have been ups and downs, there have been trials and triumphs, but I have cherished every day, and I give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly aware of your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope. And as Paul said to the Corinthians, of your giftedness, you come behind in no gift, of your understanding of the truth, love for the truth, and of your testimony, the testimony that sounds out from you to the world. Now look, I love the church. I love the church of our Lord Jesus Christ wherever it is in the world, and I have been a lot of places in the world, and I have interacted with believers all over the planet through the years. And I love the church wherever it is, but obviously I have a very special love for this church because it is here that the Lord has enriched my life beyond my wildest imagination. It has been an inexplicable providence of God that He put me here. I don't know why originally. The group of men who decided to give me this task, I don't know why, from a human viewpoint, they selected me. I don't know that they knew why. I don't know what their processes were, but in the application that they gave me to fill out, they asked me to put down the weight of my wife. So I'm not sure it was all high spiritual insight, which I did not do, although I might have done it and not been embarrassed. It just seemed rather mundane, to put it mildly. I can only look back and say, if they were worried about the weight of my wife, their criteria were not all spiritual. I don't know that they had any idea what the Lord had for them here. I'm confident they didn't. I certainly didn't. I really came out of my seminary and I wanted to study the Bible and I wanted to learn the New Testament. I wanted to know the Bible for my own soul's sake more than I wanted to preach it. I never really thought about ministry. I just thought about knowing what the Word of God meant by what it said, and it's always been the joy of ministry to study the Word of God, to understand it so that I can know God. I didn't know where I would go. I didn't know where I would be. I never worried about it. I had been considered by a couple of other churches, one of them far away and one of them not too far away, and they both had decided that I was too young. But the Lord, in His grace, in His compassion and His kindness, put me here. And I have had a lifelong love for this church. This is the church that the Lord placed me in to live out my life. And I've never had a moment's feeling that I should be somewhere else. Some of you have. I have never had a moment's feeling that I should be anywhere else. This is just my church. You are the people that I love and in whom I see the work of God flourishing. I know about the church and I understand the church, and everything that the church is, I've seen on display here. I'm not saying we're perfect. We're not. None of us, including me. But no church is and no believer is yet. But in spite of our weaknesses and imperfections, I have seen everything that the church is to be flourishing here. And that makes me so very thankful. Sometimes people will ask me as I get older, if you had to live your life again, what would you change? And my answer is nothing. Nothing. The Lord gave me the very best in His grace. Now, I love this church for some specific reasons. Let me share them with you. The church is the only institution the Lord ever promised to build. He said, I will build my church. Many years ago, a reporter said to me, do you have a desire to build the church? I said, absolutely not. Jesus said He'd build the church and I'd rather not compete with Him. I have no interest in building the church. I just want to be where the Lord is building His church. And I've lived that fulfillment. And He's building His church here from every tongue and tribe and nation and people. We're not some kind of a cultural niche. We look like Los Angeles, and we should. This is where we are. Jesus said that He came to do His Father's will, and His Father's will was to gather the redeemed and to gather them in what we know as the church. The Father chose them and the Father draws them and the Holy Spirit gives them life, and Jesus receives them and never loses any of them but raises them all at the last day. The church is triumphant. The church is invincible. He is building His church. And it's been an incredible joy, for which I am thankful constantly, to just watch Him do that. Just watch Him do that. I have only been a bystander. Like Martin Luther said, I did nothing. I did nothing. The Word of God did everything. I love to be a part of the Lord building His church. There's never been a day when I ever looked at myself and said, is this a result of human ingenuity or did the Lord do this? That's never been a question, because human ingenuity has never been applied to this. It's just the work of the Spirit through the Word. Secondly, I love the church because it's the most precious reality on earth. This is the most precious group of people on the planet. They are precious. Why? Because they were chosen by God before the foundation of the world and they were purchased by the blood of Christ. Not only that, but every one of you who is a believer is the temple of the Spirit of God. Christ lives in you, and how I treat you is how I treat Christ. And how you treat each other is how you treat Christ. That's why our Lord says, don't look down on one of these little ones who believe in me. Anybody who believes in him, you may think of them as insignificant. Do not look down on even the least of these who believe in me, because my Father in heaven is concerned about them, and the angels are watching his face to read that concern and go care for even the least of his. I understand the stewardship of the church. I understand what it means to be given a stewardship of the most precious people in the world, those bought by the blood of Christ. How wonderful has it been to be given that stewardship and to enjoy the reciprocal love and affection and blessing of having so many people in whom Christ lives come into my life and bring Christ to me. My life is filled with Christ, and not only the Christ who is in me, but the Christ who is in all of you. And as you enrich me, Christ comes to me. What a life. Thirdly, I love the church because it is the earthly expression of heaven. I like the fact that there's beauty in the earth. I like the beauty of creation. I like the beauty of art and design. I like the beauty of music. So many beautiful things. There is wonder and adventure and fascination in the world, and I enjoy so much of that. But what I love best about the world is the heavenly part of it, and that's you. The church is heaven on earth. When our Lord taught the disciples to pray, he said, pray this way, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's only done in one place. That's the church, not done anywhere else, nowhere else but here. And what is going on in heaven? God is being honored and adored and worshiped. Christ is being exalted, and righteousness dominates. And the only place on earth that approximates that is the church. So I love the church because this is as close to heaven as I can get. And to be honest with you, I'm willing to go to heaven, but it's not like I'm miserable here. I'm not unfulfilled. I'm not dissatisfied. I'm blissfully happy. I don't like what goes on outside the church, but I don't live outside the church. I live inside the church. I understand that we have to reach the world and that we're all rescue projects from what's outside the church. But my life is the church that was basically assembled in the mind of God before time began, to be his representatives on earth, to be a little bit of heaven on earth. You might say, well, your services seem a little serious. I think heaven is fairly serious. Somebody might say, well, you know, when you come to your church, it's like a throwback to another era. It's not very contemporary. No, I don't find a whole lot in the world that I would want to import into the church, because I really wouldn't want the church to be like the world. I want it to be like heaven. And the best and most elevated and most glorious and most beautiful and most magnificent forms of worship have to occupy the saints in heaven. I just want this to be as close to heaven as it can get. Another reason I love the church is because it is the gathering of true worshipers. Many, many years ago, I was struck by the words of our Lord when he attacked the temple and said, zeal for your house has eaten me up. The reproaches that fall on you are falling on me. He couldn't tolerate God being dishonored. And he was quoting from a psalm. The reproaches that fall on you are falling on me, and zeal for your house has eaten me up. Remember, as a young man, reading the story of Henry Martin, the missionary who went into a pagan temple and saw blasphemy, and turned and ran from the temple, took out his diary and wrote, "I cannot endure existence if Jesus is to be so dishonored." It tore up his soul to see the Lord dishonored. What a joy, what a privilege, what a blessing to spend your life gathering with true worshipers. This is a haven from the world. We are the true worshipers who worship God in the Spirit, have no confidence in the flesh. We are the true worshipers the Father seeks, who worship in spirit and in truth. We are the true worshipers who draw nigh, as Hebrews 10 says, and do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We come together for worship. This is the highest of all human activities, elevated by the Spirit of God in us. This is the ultimate reason for human existence. I'm not impressed by other accomplishments in the world. I just want to be among worshipers. I just want to sing songs with people who are worshipers. I want to pray with people who are worshipers. I want to preach the Word to people who are worshipers of the God I preach. I don't need to try to entertain you or trick you or twist things around to make sure I can manipulate you into being here. I just want to be able to say, we're going to worship, and that's enough, and you're here. I'm so thankful. How could any life be more rich than that, to be a part of the only institution the Lord is building, an institution that triumphs over all opposition, to live your life in the midst of the most precious people on earth, bought by the blood of Christ, to be a part of the earthly expression of heaven itself, the only place where heaven comes down, to spend your life in the gathering of true worshipers. There's another reason I love the church. It's the place of true fellowship. And when I talk about fellowship, I'm talking about a kind of genuine connection. I don't mean friendship built around politics or sports or work or hobbies. I mean real fellowship, common life. And fellowship is defined by the spiritual gifts that we have and the one another's of the New Testament. This is a place where lives impact other lives supernaturally and for eternity. You can have friendships. The world has friendships, but they are temporal. We have friendships that are everlasting. We minister to each other our spiritual gifts in order to build each other up into Christ-likeness. What an incredible blessing that is. I think about all the people here, all the people that have surrounded me through the years and do so now with amazing gifts from the Holy Spirit that are the reason why this church is what it is. People say, well, did you have a plan to get Grace Church like this? No, it's way beyond me. The Lord had a plan, and His plan was to bring together gifted people who loved Him and then let them use their gifts. And that's what all of you do. It's a place of true fellowship. And I love the church for another reason. It is the source of truth. I'm about the truth. I think you know that. If you were to reduce me down to the minimum, if you were to strip me down to the bare minimum, the truth is everything to me. I live for the truth. I love the truth. I want to know the truth. I want to preach the truth. The truth is everything. The most important thing in the world is divine truth, because it's the only way you can be saved, sanctified, and comforted in the midst of this world. And the church, says Paul, 1 Timothy 3:15, is the pillar and support of the truth. Occasionally I go to a church and I don't hear the truth, it is terrifying to me. Get me out. Or twisting the truth, perverting the truth. I'm so thankful that I've been in a church where the truth prevails, where leadership loves the truth, where all of you love the truth. It is the truth that saves us. We're sanctified also by the truth. We're saved, begotten again by the word of truth. We're sanctified by the truth, Jesus said. We're comforted by the truth. We're edified by the truth. We have hope through the truth. All our relationships are built around the truth. We navigate life because we know the truth. The sound doctrine gives us structure, and we know how to live to the glory of God because we have the mind of Christ. And that leads to another reason I love the church, and it is because the church is the place of edification. Early on in the ministry here, Grace, I talked a lot about the fact that Ephesians 4:11 says that Christ gave to the church apostles and then prophets and then evangelists and pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, and we're no longer children. I love the church because we all grow into Christ's likeness together. We all grow into Christ's likeness together. The longer we're together, the longer the Word dominates our lives, the longer we walk in faithful obedience to the Lord, the more we mature, and the more we mature, the more joy and the less conflict. We come to the unity of the faith. I just read it. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We start acting like Christ.
This is Grace to You with John MacArthur. Thanks for tuning in today. John's message looked at the blessings of life in the church. It's part of a special week of broadcasts on gratitude and thankfulness, helping you prepare for this Thursday. Now, turning the corner a bit, let me remind you of what John said before the lesson. This radio broadcast is on the air in your community and in neighborhoods around the world because of the generous support of listeners like you. So if you'd like to make a donation, contact us today. You can mail your tax-deductible gift to Grace to You, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. You can also make a single donation or set up a convenient recurring donation through our website, gty.org, or when you call toll-free 800-55-GRACE. And special thanks if you are one of our Grace partners. And don't forget, you'll find thousands of free resources at gty.org. That includes video from John's various television and conference appearances, and more than 3,500 sermons, all available free of charge. The website again, gty.org. And if you want to keep up to date on all that's available from Grace to You, follow us on Twitter using the handle @GraceToYou. And be sure to like our Facebook page at facebook.com/GraceToYou. Now for John MacArthur, I'm Phil Johnson. Thanks for making this broadcast part of your day. And make sure you're here tomorrow. John's going to show you why Christians should always be thankful. Tuesday's message is titled, A Model for Giving Thanks. Join us as we continue celebrating 50 years of unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You.